take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, or if you've got it on your phone or your device, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And, I last Sunday preached at my brother's church, and he had heard a message that I had preached here, and he said, "Dan, I think our church needs that." He said, "I want you to preach that exact message that you preached." It was back in March. And so normally my brother's like a mentor to me. He led me to the Lord, and he's a mentor in my life, a spiritual father. Even though he's my brother, he's like a spiritual father. And normally when my brother asks me to preach, I tell him, "I'm on vacation, and I want to hear you preach." And he usually understands that. Okay, you know. And so I go, and I like to hear him preach when I'm on vacation. But my first youth pastor, great man, he pastored a church there in Missouri. And my first youth pastor, when I first got saved as a teenager and I was green, I didn't know anything, he took me under his wings, and he also was a mentor and a spiritual father in my life. And he happened to also be my brother's best friend in the world. They've been best friends for 40 years. That first youth pastor of mine, he went home to be with the Lord about 2 weeks ago. He died of cancer, and it has really been hard on my brother. And so he asked me to preach, and I wanted to be a blessing to him. So I, even though I was on vacation, I preached last Sunday at his church. And so pray for my brother Steve. And then also pray for a very good friend of mine that goes all the way back to my college days, Mike Grover, pastors in Tampa, and he's a dear, dear friend. We go back to, I guess I met Mike when I was about 18 or 19 years old. I was his best man in his wedding. We've been really good buddies for years, and he lost his mother this past week, and he asked me to do the memorial, and a lot of his family's from here, so we actually did the memorial here in the Connections area on Thursday night, just a small gathering, mainly just his family. But I did the memorial there, and Mike and Cheryl and their kids were here, and we got to spend some time with them. But I know he's hurting. He's preaching this morning at his church. Pray for him too. So pray for my brother Steve, pray for Mike Grover, and I know both those guys would really appreciate that very, very much. We've been talking about prayer on Sunday mornings. I've been giving you some things that should be on our prayer list every day. There's some things that's like we don't know really what to pray for, how to pray, which is normal to have that feeling. But then there's other things that we just know we need to be praying for all the time, and because they're in the Bible and it's revealed to us that we need to be praying for those things. And so we said, okay, what are some things that the Bible says that definitely, you know, we know we're praying in God's will when we pray for these things? And so we began to look at those, and we've taken them one by one, and we're actually going to be on part four, as you can see today, the fourth thing. Just to review, you can go back and listen to these, through our website, through our YouTube channel. Part one was on praying for the lost, praying for people in your life that don't know Christ. They need the Lord in their life, and they need someone to pray and intercede for them, that the light will come on, and they'll see the gospel and understand it and accept it. The second part of this was every day you should be praying for God's work on earth, namely through your local church, through other missionaries, through other ministries you may know, like Mike Grover, my brother, you know, just ministries that you know that are trying to further the gospel, and you're praying for them, and you're praying for your pastors and your leaders, and you're praying for the gospel to spread and for the word of God to spread. Then the third thing we said was to pray for other believers. Sometimes as believers, we can struggle with following God's ways and following His will for our life. So we pray for each other that God will help you, you know, in your struggles. And you pray that God, you know, will help me in my struggles, and that we together can follow God's path and follow God's will for our life. So you pray for other believers. Many of you are in a small group. A lot of you have been very creative in your meetings. Some of you have been meeting in parks. Awesome. Good job. Some of you are meeting in homes. Some of you are meeting here out at the picnic tables or in our courtyard over here. You're finding ways to meet. Some of you are still Zooming it, okay? And I get it. But, you know, in your small groups, you need to be praying for each other and sharing your struggles honestly and openly with each other so that you can be praying for each other. But then the fourth area that I want to look at today is this, Because as we talk about praying for, you know, those that we know that need the Lord, we're praying for our church, we're praying for our spiritual leaders, we're praying for other believers. Well, as we pray for all these things, the question may come up in our mind, you know, can I pray for myself? Is it okay to pray for me, Pastor Dan? And the answer to that is absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus did this. Jesus prayed for himself. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he would be taken, arrested, then crucified on the cross, you remember that as he was in the garden, he had Peter, James, and John with him, and he said, please pray with me, you know? And so then he separated himself. He kind of went off by himself. And Jesus prayed this. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He was praying for himself. And what he meant by that, when he talked about the cup, when he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup was symbolic, as we cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, it's the cup of God's wrath against sin. God has no choice but to pour out wrath against sin because it violates his holy nature. He has to punish sin. And so as Jesus Christ was praying in the garden, he was facing the cross in which the cup of God's wrath would be poured upon him. Now, you know what it is to bear the weight of your own sins. You know what it feels like to bear the weight of your own mistakes and your own sins. Imagine bearing the weight of the sins of all of mankind. Imagine bearing the weight, and that's exactly what happened. Peter says that Jesus Christ, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so Jesus Christ took our sins and he paid the penalty for those sins that you and I would have had to have paid had he not done that. He literally became an offering for the sins of the world. He bore our sins in his own body. He would pay the penalty for our sin. By the way, aren't you thankful that he did that? Amen. What love. The Bible says that he loved us and gave himself for us. It was love. But here's the deal. He was human. Jesus took on our humanity. And this was going to be an intense physical suffering, yes, but the spiritual anguish that he would go through, would we can't even comprehend it. And 1 Peter 3:18 says that Christ suffered for sins. The just, that's him, for the unjust, that's us, that he might bring us to God. Imagine what he would go through as the cup of God's wrath would be poured upon him for our sin. So Jesus is in the garden, and he's praying. And he's like, Father, if there's any way, if there's any other way to accomplish this, if there's any other way to get this done, then let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now, what's the point? Well, the point I'm making from that text is that it is fine and appropriate to spend some time praying for yourself. Let me tell you, I've spent a lot of time praying for myself. You say, yeah, Pastor Dan, you look like you need prayer. And I do. Let me tell you, I got struggles and problems just like you do. Man, I got areas I'm working on. And I remember when I got saved, man, I was green. I wasn't raised in a Christian Bible-believing home, and I'd already established a lot of bad habits by the time I had got to be a teenager and trusted the Lord. And, you know, they say most of your habits are ingrained in you before you're like, you know, 5 to 8 years old. So I had a lot of bad habits already ingrained in my life. And I remember, man, me and Denise, when we went up to Missouri last week, we stopped off right off of I-10 at the college where we went to, and we went to the courtyard there where we first started dating and stuff. And you know, that's good memories, but it's also bad memories, because you know, I look back and I was a jerk in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, I really was. I was so green, man. I went to Bible college, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I was still so new in my faith. And I remember Denise was dead, and I had such a terrible temper, and I would fly off the handle, and I would just act like an idiot. And man, I mean, that was an area that I really have had to work on, is just that temper, that anger, you know? And just wanting I was the baby. I was born 9 years after my closest brother. Do y'all think I might have been spoiled a little bit? You know, so I had that ingrained in me, just a selfishness and just a pride and just, you know, wanting my way. And that was an area, man, that I've had to just continually work on in my life. So what am I trying to say? I'm just trying to say I got a lot of problems, and I have to pray for myself a lot. You know, I got to pray for myself a lot. And it's okay to pray for yourself. And I think that the problem many times is the content of our prayers for ourselves. In other words, what we pray for when we pray for ourselves is, I think, sometimes a little misguided. Now, it's okay to pray, and you know, I don't want you to fear, oh, I'm praying the wrong thing. God just wants us to pray and talk to Him, and you can pray about anything. But I think that sometimes our prayers, when we think about ourselves, we tend to focus on the physical needs in our lives, like health issues. And then we also tend to focus on material needs in our lives, like, you know, like money and jobs and possessions. And by the way, that's human nature. And the reason why I say that is, look, we live in a physical world, and we are physical beings. Now, that's not all we are, which we're going to see in a minute. And the physical world that we see, that's not all there is. There is a spiritual realm out there. There is a spiritual world. Paul taught there's a spiritual realm out there that it's there. We just can't see it. It's not flesh and blood, and we cannot see it with our physical eyes, but there is a spiritual realm out there. What we see, though, is the physical world every day. So it's a struggle sometimes in our prayer lives not to focus on the physical. You add to that we live in a very materialistic culture in America, and it's quite easy and quite natural to focus our prayer lives on the material and the physical parts of our lives. And we can kind of tend to pray like that's all that matters. And that's not good. You know, we just kind of naturally drift that way. You know, imagine that this over here represents the physical and material, you know, money, possessions, health, and all that, all the physical stuff. And then this over here, this represents spiritual things in our lives, you know, the kind of people that we are and the kind of love we exhibit and things like that. So this is the spiritual part of our lives. Over here is the physical part. And in our prayer lives, we can kind of just naturally tend to drift this way in our prayer lives. It's kind of like if you ever had a car that was out of alignment, or maybe the tire treads were off on different tires. If you ever had a car pull to the right? I just had that recently. It drives me insane. Did you just come in? You just missed a bunch of confession that I made a few minutes ago. Y'all don't tell her what I said, all right? But confession's good for the soul, I mean. But you just drift off that way. That car just drifts that way. And it's so aggravating, isn't it? Because in order for it not to drift off onto the shoulder, you have to, like, intentionally keep that wheel over here. And if you just let it go and do nothing and you don't really put any strength or grip on the wheel, then it just kind of naturally tends to just kind of drift over here to the right. And that's the way it is in our prayer lives. If we do not intentionally understand some things from the Bible and get some things straight in our mind, we will just kind of in our prayer lives naturally tend to drift, to pull over here, to focus on the physical and the material aspects of our lives. It's just a natural pull. And we have to overcome that natural drift, that natural tendency, pulling in our prayer lives by realizing that our deepest needs, Listen, our deepest needs are not physical, but spiritual. You are not just a physical being. You have a soul and a spirit inside of you. And your soul and your spirit inside of you, that's who you really are. Now, we can fake it on the outside. We can fake it on the outside. And we've all faked it. Come on, say amen. Fight and yell and holler in the car and come in church and, hey, brother. Good to see you. How you doing? Doing great. You're not even talking to your wife. But I'm doing great. Just loving the Lord, brother. You know, we've all faked it. Right? You see, you can fake the outside. But guess what? Your soul and your spirit are who you really are. And more important than, look, this is so important. In fact, go ahead and bring it up on the screen because we'll just read it together. It says, more important than what you say it. Do. And more important than what you have is what? Who you are on the inside. Paul said it this way in the great love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. Here's what Paul said. You can do great things, and you can possess great things. In other words, you can be successful, powerful, and rich. He said, but if you aren't loving at your core spirit level inside of you, loving God, loving people, this is his words. He said, then you're nothing. In God's estimation, you're nothing. You draw, in other words, you draw a big zero in the heavenly bank account. So this is where I'm heading with this, is that when we pray, we're going to naturally drift towards our health, our finances, our jobs, our houses, our cars, our stuff, our bank accounts. When we pray, we're going to drift towards the material and the physical. We're going to have to be intentional if we're going to go this way and pray about the spiritual things in our life. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, how to pray for that. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3, and we're going to read here some very key verses on prayer. 1 Thessalonians 3, let's begin reading in verse 9. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying earnestly that we might see your face and might perfect," that means to grow, "that we might perfect, grow, mature, that which is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, even as we do for you, to this end, that he may establish your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." What's the focus of prayer there? Well, the focus, you notice it wasn't for more material wealth. When Paul said, we're praying night and day for you, he didn't say, we're praying night and day that you'll have more money. We're praying night and day that your church will have bigger buildings and bigger budgets. He didn't pray for physical health. His focus was praying for spiritual growth, for growth in their inner person. And this is so crucial. Your prayer life, when praying for yourself, should be centered around growing and changing in your spiritual character. You say, well, What do I pray about? I mean, okay, Lord, make me a better person. All right, that took 5 seconds. Now what do I pray for? You're going to have to do a little bit more than that, I think, to grow and change. I think you're going to have to be a little bit more specific than that. A great place to start is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody look at the screen, and I want you to notice what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. By the way, if you're saved and you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And when he says the fruit of the Spirit, he's saying these are the things that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you. And then bear it and manifest these things in your life. You think about the analogy of fruit that he uses here, the fruit of the Spirit. How do you get fruit? Well, you get fruit, it starts out with a little seed. And that little seed goes in the ground. You can't even see it. It's buried. It's sowed in the ground. And so there's a seed that you can't even see, but the seed grows. And as it grows, it changes. And as it grows and changes, pretty soon you can see it. And then that fruit is visible for people to see and for people to be able to enjoy. And he's saying, these are the things that start out as a seed in you. And maybe you're not strong in some of these areas. There's just the seed of the Holy Spirit in you wanting to do this. As you grow and as you change, then the Holy Spirit grows you into these things right here, and they begin to be to come forth, to be manifested like fruit for other people to see and enjoy in your life. What are they? Well, you look at that. Love. The Holy Spirit wants to make you more loving. Joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So you look at that. You start praying for this. You start realizing, you know what? I'm kind of a grudge holder. I tend to hold grudges. And I get bitter. I guess, you know, I kind of drift that way. I drift towards holding grudges and bitterness. And maybe some of you, you know, when you get mad, you don't talk to your spouse for several days. That's no way to act. That's no way to solve anything. But that's how you deal with conflict. You just clam up. You don't talk. You're going to punish them by not talking to them. Love. Love will cause you not to hold a grudge and not to get bitter. Lord, your prayer is, Lord, I tend to hold grudges. I tend to be bitter. I tend to get really angry and mad and clam up and avoid people. And Lord, I need to be more loving. So I'm asking you, Lord, to your Holy Spirit to bear the fruit of love in my life. Help me to grow in love. Help me to love people. You know, you look at that next one, joy. And some people struggle with depression. It's a reality. I've got members of my family, they struggle with depression, big time. And maybe you struggle with being despondent. You're depressed, and so you're negative. And so you need that second one, joy. Because what happens is, if the Holy Spirit doesn't grow us in the area of joy, if we don't find our joy in Christ, if we don't find our joy in following God's ways, then what will happen is we will become depressed and despondent, and then many times people begin to self-medicate themselves. And as they self-medicate themselves to try to cover up the loneliness and the lack of joy and the depression, then as they self-medicate, many times that turns very ugly, that turns very, very self-destructive, and the self-medication can turn to addiction and very destructive things in our life. So what's the answer for that? The answer for that is, Lord, I need you to bear the fruit of joy in my life. And help me to find my joy in you and in your word. Help me to find my joy in following your path. Help me to do the things in my life, following your path and your ways, that will produce joy in my life. Lord, I need the fruit of joy. Just be honest with God about that. He knows your heart anyway. Just be honest. And then, you know, maybe you struggle with being discontent, just kind of restless. You're ill at ease and restless all the time. That third one is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The Holy Spirit wants to produce a peace in your life. Not only a peace with God, the peace of God in our life. Maybe, anybody in here need a longer fuse? You got a short fuse. I told you I did. I told them about my short fuse, honey. And maybe you got a really short fuse, and you tend to blow your stack pretty quick. You need that next one. What is it? Oh, man, that was so weak. We must have a lot of short fuses in here. You guys don't even want to say that word, right? What is the word? Patience. Lord, help me to grow in the area of patience. Lord, help me to be more patient. Help me to have a longer fuse. By the way, aren't you glad God doesn't have a short fuse with us? I'm glad he's patient. Amen. Lord, I need to be like you. God, help me to have a longer fuse. Help me to bridle that anger, and help me, Lord, to take that to you and to exercise patience with my wife, with my kids. Because a lot of times what happens is, in the next one, gentleness, you know, sometimes we can be rough and gruff, especially with our family. A lot of times we'll treat family like we wouldn't treat anybody else. And we'll say things to our family that we wouldn't say to anybody else that way. And we'll say things to our own family members we would never dream of coming to church and saying it that way to somebody. And we're rough and we're gruff with our family, you know? And that next one is what we need to pray about. Lord, help me to be more gentle. Meekness goes along with that. That means controlled strength. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. It means controlled strength. You're strong, but you don't have to go around proving it and shoving people around. Meekness. So if we struggle with gruffness and rudeness and just kind of being rough and gruff with people, then that's what we pray for. See, we say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to produce gentleness in me and meekness in me. And I need to be a kinder person. I need to be more caring. Right? Amen? And it could be that you struggle with doubts a lot. And you doubt. You don't want to doubt, but you find yourself doubting. Doubting things you shouldn't doubt. You know, and you doubt God. You doubt his goodness. You doubt his grace. You doubt his offer of salvation. You doubt your salvation because of that. You find yourself doubting the word of God and doubting God's character and doubting Jesus. And you struggle with doubt. That faith, see, you pray about that. Lord, fill me with faith and help me to see things the way you see them, not the way the world sees it. Help me to see things the way you see them. Fill me with faith. Fill me with a trust in you. Of course, self-control, who doesn't need that? Who doesn't have to pray about that? We all have areas of our life that are out of control. And so we have to pray about that and pray through that thing, that we will get those things under control. By the way, a lot of times in our life, you know what we struggle with? Things that in and of themselves aren't bad, but in excess, they're really bad, and they get out of control. So we pray for self-control. Anyway, my point is, imagine the difference in our lives if we were growing steadily in these areas. I want you to imagine you growing in those. Remember, fruit starts as a seed and then it's manifested and people see it and enjoy it. Imagine you growing in those areas as you pray through them. Imagine you growing and changing. Let me ask you something. Do you think your spouse will enjoy that fruit, yes or no? You think your kids will enjoy that fruit? You think your coworkers, think your fellow churchmen, think your friends, you think your, you think about that. Think about how as you bear these things, other people get to see it and enjoy it in your life. You become a pleasant person to be around. You become a joy to be around because you're bearing these things in your life. Now, look, all I'm saying is this. I'm saying that these are the types of things that we need to be chewing on and that we need to be wrestling with in prayer. Remember what I said earlier? We drift towards, oh, Lord, help my ingrown toenail to get better.
Lord, help my elbow hurts. Help my elbow to quit hurting.
I'm not discounting those things. But all I'm saying is, we can tend to drift towards, we act like all that matters are physical things. Money, possessions, health. When really, these things over here, this is what really matters. Because I want you to think about this. If we are healthy, wealthy, and successful on the outside, but we're broken down on the inside, what good is it? What good is a new house if the person living inside the house is falling apart? Are y'all with me? What good is a nice new car if the person driving it is running on empty spiritually? What? And I'm not against any of those things. I'm just bringing a comparison here. What good is lots of money if we're so miserable we can't enjoy it? What good is nice and newer stuff if our relationships are falling apart? Do y'all see my point? I'm not against any of these things. I'm just saying, what good are they if we're not growing over here and changing in the spiritual areas? So we need to be strong in Christ on the inside. And that's going to come through prayer. You cannot do it on your own. But with God's help, you can grow and change into the likeness of Christ. And that passage, I'm glad they left it up here, because that passage, does that passage not describe Jesus Christ? That's Christ. And so when we talk about growing into the likeness of Christ, that's not some mysterious, spooky thing. That's just this. When we talk about growing and looking like Christ, it just means that you're a more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, gentle, good, faith-filled, meek, self-controlled person. That's what we mean when we talk about, you know, being conformed into the image of Christ. Prayer solicits God's help with these things. It's prayer that breaks down strongholds. It's prayer that changes our attitudes. Anybody in here ever need an attitude adjustment? Say amen, huh? And it's prayer that changes our attitudes. It's prayer that matures our faith. It's prayer that grows our love. It's prayer that fills us with joy, that floods our inner being with peace, that stretches our patience, that moves us to correct action, that brings gentleness and a calmness to our inner being. You say, I can't do all that. You don't know me. No, but I do know Jesus, and I know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's a song I heard way, way back years ago, and it was on the radio, and it was so good because whoever wrote it, was they were struggling with feelings of inability, feelings of insufficiencies, and just a feeling of kind of like just a hopelessness that, man, am I ever going to grow and change? And then the chorus breaks into, it says, amen. I'm going to sing with me, amen. It goes, never underestimate my Jesus. You're telling me that there's no hope. I'm telling you you're wrong. Never underestimate my Jesus. When the world around you crumbles, he will be strong, he will be strong. Never underestimate my Jesus. Amen. You guys just exhibited kindness right there, putting up with my singing. Thank you. But I that always speaks to my heart, you know, when I hear that song. You're telling me that there's no hope. I'm telling you you're wrong. Never underestimate my Jesus. When the world around you crumbles, he will be strong. He will be strong. But it starts with prayer. Prayer gets Jesus involved in your life. That stuff up there isn't going to happen magically because, look, I already told you I've struggled with so many of those things right there. Still do. And I'm telling you, those things aren't going to just magically show up one day in your life. They're going to show up as you wrestle with them in prayer. And you weep maybe, and you cry. And you say, God, I messed up again. And God, I did wrong again. And God, I can't do this. But God, you can. And so I need you to grow me in these areas. And sometimes it'll feel like you're taking, you know, 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. But keep after it. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep wanting to grow and change. And you know what? 5 years from now, you'll look back and say, wow, I am not the person that I was 5 years ago. I'm sure not perfect, but I'm sure not what I was 5 years ago. Holy Spirit is bearing fruit in your life. And other people get to see it and enjoy that fruit. And you become a blessing to others. Remember the car that drifts? And we drift over here praying for our, you know, ill health, praying for money, praying for jobs. Nothing wrong with that. But really, the ample part of our prayer life, we got to be intentional. Because you'll naturally drift there. You got to be intentional, just like with that steering wheel, and come over here and pray about these things. Because this is what's really going to make a difference in your life and in your relationships. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.